This morning's passage is brought to us again from the book of Mark, Mark chapter 7. And we're going to begin to read at verse 1. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all of the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe. The washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandoned the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.' Then he said to them, 'You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother whatever support you might have and from me is Corban, that is, an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for the father and the mother, thus making void the word of God through the tradition that you have handed on. And you do many things like this.' Then he called the crowd again and said to them, 'Listen to me, all of you, and understand there's nothing outside a person that is by going in and in can defile, but the things that come out are what defiles. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, 'Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer? Thus he declared all foods clean. Then he said, it is what comes out of a person that defiles, for it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.'" Let's bow our heads together. Lord, thank you for your word today. We ask you to bless, Lord, as we hear that word. We just ask God today that Brandon bring forth from his heart that he feels, Lord, that we need to hear. Let our hearts be open to receive it. And we all ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Thank you, Keith. I wanted to take a quick minute just because of my history. Many years ago, I was a youth pastor in a different denomination. And I want to tell you guys, this church is so amazing in the way that we treat our students. I could only imagine being able to reach the students that Pastor Micah and our church reach. And I just want you to know that we should be proud of what we're doing here. That we're showing Jesus to kids that probably wouldn't see it anywhere else. And I can't help but to tell others when I'm talking about our church how amazing that is. And what we do and all the things that we do to support them. So I just want you to think about that. You know, it's amazing. Have you ever had a friend who sees things just a little differently than everybody else? I know Christy's probably laughing because that's often me. But if you often have a friend, or you have one now, who when everybody sees something a certain way, the friend comes in and says something either completely opposite of what everybody saw, or they say something very differently. Well, that's kind of what our passage is about today. And I'm actually going to tell a story about a television show. So we've got a picture here. Now, it looks like a police call box, and some of you probably know this TV show. It's one of the longest-running science fiction shows in history. It's a British show. It's called Doctor Who. Now, this right here is actually a ship capable of traveling through space and time. So it looks like just a little call box that people can go into. But it's very special. The main character of Doctor Who is an alien. He's called the Doctor. That's all we know of him. He can travel through space and time, like I said. And one of the things he likes to do is he comes to Earth a lot because he thinks humans are amazing creatures. He likes our spirit. He likes what happens here. And he often has to save Earth from some very evil alien or something else. But the Doctor has human companions who travel with him. And these human companions often love these adventures and everything. And every human companion that goes into this ship, it's actually called the TARDIS. Every human companion who goes into this ship, and any alien who walks into it, has almost the same reaction. And now I'm going to show you a picture of the inside. Almost everybody that walks in says, "That's bigger on the inside." Because they saw that little piece on the outside. But there was a human companion on a couple of seasons recently who was very different from every other companion and every other person who walked in and saw the inside of this TARDIS. Her name was Clara. Now, Clara was very unique in a lot of ways because the Doctor ran into her at different times, which is very strange, first of all, because she is human. But then when Clara walked into the TARDIS the first time, the Doctor's sitting there all smugly waiting, and she's saying, it's, and she just keeps looking around, and he's like, "Yeah, go ahead, say it," everybody says it. Clara looks at it and goes, "It's smaller on the outside." The Doctor got a little upset because that's not what he expected her to say. But then he kind of looks at it and thinks about it. I remember when I heard that, I went, you know, that's amazing. Clara saw that very differently than everybody because she saw that the TARDIS was smaller on the outside. So, what does this have to do with our passage? Well, that's what Jesus is doing here when the Pharisees come to him and they ask him why the disciples aren't doing the things that everyone else does. Every other good Jew does a ritual washing their hands, they wash pots, they wash pans, they do everything before they eat. But the Pharisees have come to accuse them of doing something that's different. And Jesus, and this is one of the things he often does when confronted with the religious authorities of his day, he doesn't answer the question they asked. I often think of this when I see interviews on television. I watch a lot of basketball. If you've seen the pros, Greg Popovich, the coach of the San Antonio Spurs, whenever he's asked a question by the sideline reporter, he either doesn't answer it or he answers a completely different question. The same in college basketball. John Calipari, the coach of Kentucky, he does the same thing. You know, a sideline reporter will come up to him and ask him something about the way the game is going, and he turns around and he says, he answers a completely different question because he answers the question he wants to answer. And he doesn't want, he wants to get his message out instead of the message of the reporter. Now that's what Jesus has done here, because they ask him about this ritual washing, and the reason they're asking about the washing is because the Jews of this day hear where Jesus is talking to them. The reason they do all this washing, the reason they do that, is the Pharisees. We look at them in a very negative light a lot, but the Pharisees really, what their plan was to, they were hoping that if they had pure religion, if they did religion in a pure way, through rituals, through the washings, through making sure that everything they did was pure, that God would come back, because they felt an absence of God in the temple. So that was their movement. The Pharisees were a movement trying to bring God back to Israel and make Israel prominent in the world again. So that's what they're doing with these ritual washings. And the reason they would wash before they ate is because there was a belief at that time that as they walked through the marketplace, as they purchased food, as they rubbed shoulders with Gentiles and pagans and others like that, that sin was a communicable disease. So they saw the fact that they could be defiled by just coming in contact with those who were sinners. And that's why they would wash their hands. They thought it was a ritual washing, saying, I'm not going to be defiled by this. And so that's why Jesus is answering a different question, though, because he, first of all, thinks that that's not what they should be doing. And I like, he comes around and he says, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother will surely die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, whatever support you might have had for me is korban, that is an offering from God, then you no longer permit doing anything for a father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you've handed on, and you do many things like this. So what Jesus is saying here is he's taking both the hand washing, and then he brings something else in, because the religious leaders have tried to accuse him of something that they did not agree with, and thinking that he was defiling religion. But he says, you're doing it by these very things, with the hand washing and other things you do. And what he's speaking of with korban here is that, say that you're a son or a daughter of parents, and they're getting elderly, but you have money, so you're wealthy. And the Bible tells us we should honor our fathers and mothers, that we should take care of our parents. And that was the tradition, especially in Israel. But what they had done was they found a little loophole so that they could keep their own money and spend it on themselves and not take care of their parents and not take care of others. And that was korban. So if they said that this money I have here, that I've got in my bank, that I've got stored away, this money is for God and it's for the temple, even if they didn't give it to the temple. So it was kind of a pledge they gave, and at that point they could say, I don't have to give this to anyone else. And this is where we get into what we do with this. So we can often say, well, you know, my time is more important to me. I'm going to give it to God, but I'm not going to fully give it. And that's what Jesus is talking about here to the religious leaders and to his disciples. Because we should be caring for others. And we do a pretty good job of that on a day-to-day basis. But sometimes we have a tendency to be self-centered and selfish. And that's the kind of thing that Jesus is speaking of here. Then he switches it just a little bit. So we've talked about the hand washing, we've talked about that, and he's basically told them that your religion, your traditions are so much smaller on the outside that they're just empty, because there's nothing that comes from within for this. And that's when he says some great things here. He calls the crowd again together, and he says, listen to me, all of you. And understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. And what he's talking about here is he's shifting the narrative of sin. He's shifting the narrative that the religious leaders have talked about this whole time. And he's saying sin is not a communicable disease, because it's not something that you can get from taking in things. It's not something that happens from the way you look, from the things you come in contact with outside. So what he's saying here is that sin is more of a cancerous disease, because it comes from inside. It's not something that comes from outside. And here's where he explains it, because his disciples are once again confused by what he said. They don't understand. What are you talking about? What do you mean that nothing we can take in from outside can defile us? What does that mean? Why can't that happen? And like he says to them, do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach, and then goes out into the sewer? Thus he declared all foods clean. So Mark, of course, here is saying to the future audiences, he's saying to those early audiences who were Gentile, that guess what? Everything you do is okay. And that's one of the things Jesus was saying here. When we were in that room, we missed it. We missed some of this stuff because we didn't understand. He was basically telling us that all foods are clean, that things from the outside aren't going to affect us. But then he says, what comes out of a person, it is what comes out of a person that defiles. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice. He lists several things here. And what he's talking about, and it's the core of this passage when he's speaking to these religious leaders and to his disciples, is that sin isn't something that comes from what necessarily what we see, that we encounter, the people we talk to. It doesn't come from what we wear, from what we eat. Sin doesn't come from those things. Sin comes from the heart. It comes from within us. And very much like we talked about with the TARDIS, what Clara had seen there was that the inside of the TARDIS was the most important thing. That the outside didn't matter. So everybody else was amazed that the inside was large. But she was more amazed that the outside was small. Because she understood where the importance was. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's telling us that the important places are within us. The important things are what come from inside. And this isn't just a way of saying that, you know, what we do determines everything. But what it's saying here, and it's what Jesus does, is that even though we have a sinful nature inside, there's an amazing thing that happens because of Jesus. Because he gave a loving sacrifice for us, he's able to take that sin that's within us and wash it out. That no matter who we are, no matter what we look like, that what's inside us can be cleansed through the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus is getting to, because he's telling us where sin comes from so that we know how to root it out. He's saying, once again, like I said, it's not this communicable disease. We don't catch it from other people. Even through influences and stuff, we don't truly capture sin, because sin is a personal thing. It's something that we do personally. Now, there are corporate sins. There are those great sins that Paul talks about as empowers, things like racism, things like hatred, things like oppression. Those are corporate sins, but most sins are things that come from inside us that are personal. And even those corporate sins are things that come from within, because they're things that we can do something about by embracing Jesus. So he's taking the idea of the communicable sin so that we can, once again, interact with others. And there's an awesome passage in Matthew. So if you go back to Matthew 9, we're not going to read that, but Matthew 9 is the one where Jesus actually calls Levi, whose name becomes Matthew. Levi's a tax collector. He was a despised person in this time, because what they basically did is they had to collect taxes for the Romans, but the only way for them to make their own money was to upcharge that tax. So what they basically were doing were stealing from others to make themselves wealthy, and they would often mark those taxes up very high. So they could do things. So he's despised because he represents the oppressive empire of the government that is oppressing the Israelites, who has taken them captive in some ways. And Levi is that. But he also, obviously, because he's a tax collector, he doesn't get to hobnob with the Pharisees and with the religious leaders. So he lives with sinners. Those are the people that come over. And in Matthew 9, once again, the Pharisees come to Jesus and they're accusing him. He says, they say, you eat and drink with sinners. What's wrong with you? And there Jesus says that one of those amazing things that comes out of his mouth where he answers the question that they haven't asked. He says, I eat with sinners because they have a sickness. Sin is a disease, and I'm there because the people who have a disease are the ones who need doctors, not the people who are healthy. So this passage in Mark and the passage in Matthew are both things telling us that the outside things aren't important, that inside things are important, and also that we need to be willing to go alongside people in our society, other people, and be there for them to show them who Jesus is. We are to be the light reflecting the glory of God. And that's what's revolutionary about what Jesus is talking about here, is that when we accept Jesus, when we live and we embrace that, there's a moment in our salvation where we're cleansed from that sin. And then there's also a time when, because we begin to recognize that inward sin in us, all those things that we ask Jesus to take care of that, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes within us and works in us, sanctifies us, and takes that sin out of us, takes it all out, just rips it out. And that's the hope, and that's the power of what we get in this. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, what's inside you is the only thing that can defile you, and I'm going to come inside you. I'm going to take that out. God can rip it out, and through the grace and mercy can save us and can continue to save us. So, when we think about that, think about the sin being inside us, there's a way that we can think about that and respond, and that is through accepting Jesus in a lot of ways, but also those of us who are already Christians, we need to be praying that God can cleanse us and take out what's inside us, can make sure that we are saved, that we're sanctified, that we're willing to live within the grace of God. And those are amazing things. Me being up on their platform in a lot of ways is testimony to the grace and power of God. 24 some odd years ago when I was a youth pastor, I couldn't imagine myself being within a Nazarene church, to be honest. In fact, there's probably several people who, if they were here, would not believe that I was standing here, because I think I said several times, I'm never going to go to a Nazarene church, similar to Pastor Micah. I always think of that when he's preaching these things. But I also could never imagine myself, especially giving a sermon within a church of Nazarene, because I didn't understand what the message was. Because there were some things, there were some people who had worried about what was on the outside. Very similar to the denomination I came from. There were a lot of people who worried about what was on the outside. But what was being told, taught, was what was in the inside is what is important. And that when we embrace God, that He can cleanse our sin, and that He can take that from us. It doesn't mean that we become sinless, because we're humans. And until we're glorified, and until we're in the second earth and second heaven, until we're in that time when we're in glory and with heaven, until that time, we can still mess up. But the idea is that as we approach that time, we become more and more like Jesus. We become more and more clean from the inside through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it is. It's not anything we do. There's nothing we can do to clean out this inside. And that's what Jesus is talking about. When everything that defiles can come from within. We can't clean that out. That has to be God. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. It has to be that is where that comes from. And this morning, we're going to have a little bit of a different response. And I'm going to go ahead and ask the worship team to come on up here. Our response this morning is going to be through communion. And in a moment, I'm going to ask Pastor Micah and the students to come up. Pastor Micah is going to preside over communion for us this morning, and the students are going to serve. But one of the reasons that we believe communion is important in the Church of Nazarene is that we believe it to be a sacrament. We believe that through receiving the elements, receiving the bread, receiving the blood, that when we receive those, we believe that there's a work of grace that happens. That it's an outward sign of what happens in our hearts. That it's an outward sign of what Jesus has done. And that we're responding to that in the way that what Jesus has done. And this is one of the amazing things. Jesus says in that passage in Mark, He says, what goes in us can't defile us. But He doesn't say what goes into us can't lift us up. And that's the beauty of communion. That's the beauty of this response that we can give. Is that, as John Wesley believed, as you came forward, as you received communion, that through that sacrament, that you received the grace of God, that there is a continual receiving of that grace. And that's what we mean by sacrament. And that's why it's so important.